الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولو أنهم آمنوا واتقوا لفتحنا عليهم بركات من السماء والأرض ولكن كذبوا فأخذناهم بما كانوا يكسبون وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم طلب كسب الحلال فريضة بعد الفريضة أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم Most respected ulama ikram, brothers and elders, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has created this insan and he has created him weak. Allah ta'ala himself declares in the Quran Kareem, خُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ ضَعِيفًا. This insan, this human being, has been created weak. And he is so weak that physically he needs to nourish himself daily and more than once a day. If he eats in the morning and he doesn't have anything to eat for the rest of the day and he doesn't get any food to eat in the evening, then he'll perhaps be so weak the next morning that he won't be able to wake up. And if he doesn't get food for 2-3 days in a row, then he will be now on his deathbed and he will be on his way out. So he's so weak that he cannot survive without food for more than a couple of days. If he doesn't get water to drink, perhaps one day might pass, the second day he'll start getting dehydrated, by the third day he won't be able to perhaps walk, by the fourth day all his limbs will start collapsing, and by the fifth day he might be gone. So he's so weak he can't do without water for more than a couple of days. He's so weak that he doesn't have any shelter, then if it is bitterly cold sometimes he'll freeze to death. It's extremely hot sometimes, he gets a sunstroke and he collapses and whatever else happens. So this human being is weak in every aspect. And being weak, he now has to make an effort to fulfill the various needs that he has. He has to eat, he has to drink, he has to have a shelter, he has to have clothing to protect himself from the elements, to cover himself. All these needs he has. So he is going to now be fulfilling his own needs. He will have to go and earn a living. He will have to do something. But all this is not for anybody else. He's not doing a favor to somebody else. To fulfill his own needs, he will go and work. But Allah tabarak wa ta'ala's mercy is such, and Allah ta'ala's rahmat is such, that this insan, this human being, goes to fulfill his own needs. But if he does it in the way that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has commanded and within the framework that Shariat has provided, then in fulfilling his own needs also he is rewarded. So this is the great rahmat and the blessing of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, that this insan will have to work. He will have some job, he will have some profession, he will perhaps run some business or whatever he will do to earn a living. He's doing his own, fulfilling his own needs, he's doing himself a favor. But Allah Ta'ala's rewards are showering upon him. Now in order to go and acquire this livelihood of his, there's one of two mindsets. One mindset is the mindset that Shariat has taught us, what we have learned from the Quran and Sunnah, and that is that a person regards this earning of this livelihood as a necessity. And yes, he may not just desire barakat in it, he may even make dua and ask Allah Ta'ala for barakat. That Allah Ta'ala may bless this rizq of his, shower it with barakat and blessings. This is something we have been taught by Rasulullah SAW himself. So nevertheless, we will come to this point just now. This is one mindset where the person goes out with this frame of mind. I'm going out to fulfill a need. My object in life is something else. In order to fulfill this need, I will now undertake this job, this business, this profession, whatever else, within the framework of Shariat. And yes, I will ask Allah Ta'ala to bless this risk of mine, to fill it with barakah and blessings. I will make dua for that all the time. A second mindset, a second attitude, is that which is the attitude of materialism, the attitude that the West has taught, the mindset of capitalism, that I must work in order to amass. I must be able to increase all the time whatever I have. A person must draw up a budget every year. And last year, if the profit was only a few million, 2 million, then if this year it cannot be 3 million, then he has lost out. So there has to be a constant increase. There has to be more all the time. And no matter how that more comes also, it must come. Now this is the mindset of the capitalist system, the mindset of materialism, that there must be more all the time. And how that more comes also is not the criteria. Now these are two separate things completely. One is the line which Shariat has taught us, the line of barakat, the road to barakat. And the other is the road to kathrat, which means excess, more. But whether that more brings the object of it being acquired in the first place, that is completely a different matter. To understand this a little, what we said was that one road is the road to barakat. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself taught us to acquire, to ask for this barakat. For example, we all make wudu all the time, every day, 5 times a day. And during wudu, there's a wonderful dua that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has taught. Unfortunately, the time during wudu is also sometimes whiled away in talking idle things, worldly talk. Whereas it's a great ibadat. And at that time, there's a dua that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught, which is recorded in the authentic books of ahadith. Allahumma ghfir li dhambi. Oh Allah, forgive my sins. Person is making wudu. Wudu itself is a means of washing away his sins. Now he's asking even for his major sins to be forgiven. Allahumma ghfir li dhambi. Wa wassi' li fi dari. Already he's engaged in one great ibadat. Can we imagine how easily acceptable this dua will be? That during the ibadat of wuzu, he's making this dua as well. Wa wassi' li fi dari. Oh Allah, make my home spacious for me. What does this spacious mean? Does it mean that if it's 2 by 2, it must become 22 by 22? Or maybe 200 by 200? What it means is that whatever it is, oh Allah, make it sufficient for me. Make it a place of sukoon and peace and tranquility for me. Make it a place where when I come, I am like a fish in water. Not a place where, despite it being sometimes maybe 200 by 200, it's like a house on fire. Then that place is not a home, that's something else. That home is not sufficient for him. That is why then when the holiday season comes, he sometimes wants to drive down 2-3 kilometers away and leaves that palatial mansion and he lives in a 2 by 2 hotel room. Because that home is not sufficient for him. That home is not spacious enough for him, despite it being a palatial mansion. So the first thing is, oh Allah, forgive my sins. Oh Allah, make my home sufficient for me, spacious for me. And then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam teaches us the dua, wa barik li fi rizqi. Oh Allah, grant me barakah in my rizq. So here we find this dua of barakah. You'll find this dua of barakah on numerous occasions. Because when barakat comes, then the object of that aspect will be achieved. When there will be barakat in rizq, then the purpose of person going to earn a living is that he may fulfill his needs, he may have some comfort perhaps, whatever other needs he has, he may have a peaceful life. So that is the purpose of acquiring sustenance, going to work. When the person will have barakat in that rizq, all this will be acquired. No matter what the amount of that sustenance may be, whatever he has will become more sufficient than his needs. Whatever his needs are, he'll find there's still something left over, despite the quantity. And when barakat is missing, no matter how much it will be, it will always seem to be less. So therefore this dua of barakat, you'll find here in this dua during wudu, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam teaches us the dua of barakat. When a person gets married, dua in his married, barakat in his married life, barakat in his married life, that dua is taught, that barakallahu feekuma, wa baraka alaykuma, wa jama'a baynakuma bil khair. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would give this dua to the couple that got married, that may Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala bless you with barakat in every way. Again, when there'll be barakat in that marriage, then that marriage will be a means of sukoon for both partners. It'll be a means of happiness. It'll be a means of great rahmat and blessing. That home will be a home. Again, we see the dua of barakat. And on various other occasions, you'll find the same thing. We don't have time to go into the details. So nevertheless, this is one road, the road to acquire barakat. And this is what we are being taught. Now, how does this barakat come? This we will discuss just now. But the other side is the road to merely acquiring an excess. This excess, it sometimes comes in any way. But whether this excess will fulfill a person's needs, that itself is a different question. That's a different issue altogether. Sometimes no matter how much a person has, it just doesn't seem to fulfill his needs, to acquire his objectives and purposes. He is all the time still in debt. Nothing seems to get sorted out because this barakat is missing. Hazrat Mawlana Zulfiqar Sahab, Daan Barakatuhum, a very great alim who has visited our country several times, he gives an example of his own personal experience once. He says once he came home, and when he comes home, his wife says to him that this some woman has come from some time, and she has some whatever problem she has. From the time she's come, she's only crying. So rather listen to what her problem is and advise her whatever it may be. So he then, from behind the parda, asks her, what is the problem? So she says, well, my problem is this, that first she gives her background, that my husband is a very wealthy person, and nevertheless, he takes care of all my needs, he takes care of all the needs of the household, pays all the bills, everything he does. Over and above that, he's very kind and affectionate to me as well. I have no problem in that regard also. So then what is your problem? So my problem is, she says, that he only gives me, now this we're talking about, this incident was in Pakistan, says he only gives me 50,000 rupees a month for my pocket expenses. And I just can't seem to fulfill my needs with this. Now all the household expenses are paid, everything is taken care of. This is so-called pocket expenses. 50,000 rupees a month, this is not sufficient. And she said this and started sobbing again. So Ma says to her that what you are actually asking me to do is perhaps maybe talk to your husband and intercede on your behalf and tell him maybe make it 100,000 rupees. So let me tell you beforehand that if I tell him to make it 200,000 rupees also and he does it too, it will not decrease your problems in any way, it will only increase it. So she got astounded that my problem is that I don't have enough. If that gets doubled, it gets trebled, then why wouldn't my problem get solved? My problems will be over. So he explained to her further that what you are actually asking for is kasrat, for more. But whatever you have also is too much, but there's no barakat in it. As a result, what you have also is bringing problems for you. And therefore, no matter how much more you have, it'll only bring more problems if it doesn't come along with barakat. So you first bring deen in your life. Bring salah 5 times a day in your life. Give up all the haram from your life. Remove the avenues of sin that you are involved in from your life. All the tools of vice from your home, take it out. And then you see what is the result. So he says later that alhamdulillah, about 3-4 months later, she went away. 3-4 months later, she calls one day and she says, alhamdulillah, I practiced on your advice. I started performing my salah regularly on time. I removed all the tools of vice from my home, all those tools of immorality, and all the other various harams that I was involved in. And alhamdulillah, now in 15,000 rupees, all my needs are fulfilled. The other balance, 35,000, I'm now spending on the widows and on the orphans. Now when there's barakat, then 15,000 too is more than enough. And when there's no barakat, then 50,000 also is too little. Now this is the line of barakat. How does this barakat come? We find barakat will come in everything when the way that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has commanded us to adopt, when that is acquired. Then barakat will come in life, barakat will come in health, barakat will come in time. That is the biggest cry today, that there's no barakat in time. Person starts off in the morning, the day is over, he didn't get any work done. Here again we find Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he made one dua for the ummah. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made one dua, Allahumma barik li ummati fi bukuriha. Oh Allah, you grant barakah to my ummah in the early part of their morning. Oh Allah, you grant barakah to my ummah in the early part of their morning. We find that that first part of the morning, before Fajr, after Fajr, up to sometimes around sunrise, just after that, that first part is filled with barakah. Spiritually also, that is why we find that that is a time, very, very mubarak time to engage in zikr, tilawat, because that is a very special time. And even in terms of a person's dunya needs as well, in terms of his worldly work as well, the work that he will accomplish in the first part of the morning will not be done later. Unfortunately, many a times the norm is that the person will sleep past midnight. Sometimes it's due to some maybe permissible activity, and Allah forbid, sometimes it's due to haram. Sometimes it's because of the box. So the night is whiled away in haram. And then the person sleeps through Fajr and after Fajr and through all the barakat time as well. And now when all the barakat time is over, now at 10 o'clock he starts his work. Whereas that part of the day when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made dua for barakat for the ummat, that part the ummat is asleep. So we find that this barakat, it'll come in the way that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has taught. There'll be barakat in time. There'll be barakat in time in such a way, we find in the lives of our mashayikh, many of them, they would start the tilawat of the Quran and Kareem in the morning, after Fajr and so on, and while busy with the rest of their daily work, they would continue reciting the Quran. Before sunset, they are reading Qul A'udhu bi Rabbin Nas, Malikin Nas, the whole Quran khatam they made during the course of the day, together with the other work. Barakat in time. There'll be barakat in rizq, that a person, whatever he has, will not just fulfill his needs, it'll fulfill more than his needs. But the question is that how does this barakat come? Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has kept the switch of that barakat in our hands. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has left it to us to decide to press that switch. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in the Quran Kareem says, وَلَوْ أَنَّهُمْ آمَنُوا وَاتَّقَوْا لَفَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ بَرَكَاتٍ مِّنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ. That if they have iman, correct iman, complete iman, وَاتَّقَوْا, and they adopt taqwa. Allah Ta'ala then says, what is the result of this? لَفَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ بَرَكَاتٍ مِّنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ. That we will open up the barakat, the blessings from the skies and the earth. From the skies also the blessings will come, and from the earth also the blessings will come. Then everything else will carry on in the world. The price of crude oil will go to $100, and the price of cooking oil will go to 100 rands. But this person will still have barakat in his rizq. And like everybody else, he will also have the hot days and the cold days. He will also sometimes be well, sometimes be sick. He will also have the ups and downs of life that any human being has, because after all, this life is a test. But his heart will always be content. His heart will always be at peace with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And he will never be perturbed. He will never be linked in a state of depression. He will never be contemplating suicide. He will never be in a situation where he says that what is there to live for now? He will still be at peace in his heart. He will have what he's acquired, others are trying to acquire from all the material things. Ask a person what you want in life. Say, I want to have a good time. I want to have a peaceful life. I want to have peace and serenity. But this doesn't come from outside, this is inside. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will grant it to him. All his needs will get fulfilled easily as well. So the prescription, the switch was, وَلَوْ أَنَّهُمْ آمَنُوا وَاتَّقَوْا. Iman and taqwa. Now this person will go to earn a living. Now he will earn that living with iman and taqwa. Now no matter how lucrative that deal may be, where he can make a million in a moment, but if there's one element of haram in it, he won't touch it, because it will destroy all the barakat. If there is one element of haram, like a person gives us a gift, 200 liters of pure white milk. And he tells us, but there was just one drop of urine that fell into this. But nevertheless, it's a gift to you. He said, keep your gift. It's 200 liters of pure white milk in there. And the cream also hasn't been taken out. It's not even deprived of this cream. But yes, there's one drop of urine in this pure white milk of 200 liters. There's a gift to you. So go and throw it down the gutters. Because this has been contaminated with that one drop of urine, similarly this person will realize that no matter what I have, with this 1 cent or 1 million of haram, everything that I have will also get contaminated. So therefore I won't touch it. The barakat will all go. He will not deceive the customer in any way. We're talking about barakat. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says regarding the buyer and the seller, there are various details. The one detail Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, فَإِن بَيَّنَا وَصَدَقَ بُورِكَ لَهُمَا فِي بَيْعِهِمَا. If they disclose everything, the person doesn't hide any fault, he doesn't deceive the customer in any way, both parties are completely open, they don't hide anything, وَصَدَقَ, and they're completely truthful in the transaction. There's nothing that they have tried to hide away in different jargon and various ways that carries on, unfortunately. بُورِكَ لَهُمَا فِي بَيْعِهِمَا. They will be granted barakah in that transaction. The transaction may then earn a small profit. It may earn a little bit in terms of quantity, but it'll be filled with barakah. And what it will do for a person in terms of his needs, others with more profit, with greater amount, with greater quantity, without barakah, won't be able to acquire. And then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam goes on further to say, فَإِنْ كَذَبَا وَكَتَمَا مُحِقَتْ بَرَكَةُ بَيْئِهِمَا. That if they lie, any one of the parties lie, whoever lies will be the one who will face the consequences. If they lie or they conceal anything, muhiqat, totally uproot, the barakat of their transaction will be totally uprooted. Then sometimes the quantity will be big, but there's no barakat in it. And when there's no barakat, then what is the result? It is like a person now, he is creating a whole lot of problems for himself in that secluded, in that very safe shelter he was, he is now making holes all over the place. So now some snake will enter through one hole, some scorpion will enter through another hole, and some other calamity will enter through a third hole. Now that place is full of everything, but there are holes through which different calamities and problems will keep coming. So here again we find barakat. Such great amount of barakat will come from that transaction being done correctly. And that person conducting himself in his business in the way that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has taught, such barakat, that barakat will extend beyond this world. Such barakat which not will be restricted to this world only. When Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says in the hadith, At-tajiru as-saduq al-ameen ma'an nabiyyin was-siddiqin was-shuhada'i yawm al-qiyamah aw kama qala an-nabiy sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That trader who is saduq and ameen, who is truthful and trustworthy, who is honest and trustworthy, he will be raised. Look at the barakat. The barakat of fulfilling his own needs in this world. He is going to earn, he's undertaken a job, a profession, a business, whatever. He's doing it to fulfill his own needs. But he did it by restraining himself from haram, by restraining himself from everything that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has forbidden. What is the barakat of this, let alone this world? He will be raised with the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, with the shuhada and the siddiqeen on the day of Qiyamah. Can we imagine for conducting business in the correct manner? But what will be this? The requirement of this is that talabu kasbil halali fariidatum ba'dal fariidah. That this person in earning his livelihood, he on the one hand will understand that I am doing something which Allah Ta'ala has ordered. But this is next in category to all the other fundamentals of deen. Nothing else must get compromised in the way. Neither my salah, the time of salah comes, then everything stops. When the azan is called out, everything stops. Because now the barakat is in answering the call of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Now the barakat is in hayya ala salah, hayya ala falah. In coming for salah and coming towards success, success in that business also is in leaving that business now. Not in standing behind that shop, counter. So now this person will put everything in priority. Deen will have the highest priority, and thereafter everything else. Now barakat will come in his deen as well, barakat will come in his dunya also. He'll live a life of contentment and happiness in this world, and that barakat will extend in the akhirat as well, as we have understood from this hadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So this is the line and this is the road that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has taught us to undertake, the road of barakat. And the road of barakat, the du'as that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has taught us, the du'a at the time of wudu, the various other a'mal, many of them we are aware of. And similarly, the main thing, the ayat that we discussed, where Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, وَلَوْ أَنَّهُمْ آمَنُوا وَاتَّقَوْا, that if they have iman, proper iman, and they conduct themselves with taqwa, in their business lives, in their personal lives, in society, wherever they may be, they conduct themselves with taqwa, لَفَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ بَرَكَاتٍ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ, we will open out the barakat, the blessings from the skies and the earth. So this is what we have to acquire, this barakat. And as we discussed in this ayat, Allah Ta'ala makes the first condition, amanu, perfection of iman. This is where it starts off from. When iman will be perfected, the taqwa will come along with it. It is for this very perfection of iman that we find all the various amal and the various efforts of deen taking place. In this regard, the ijtima that will take place also on the 19th, 20th of March, this is also for the same purpose, that we acquire the sifat of iman, the qualities of iman. We strengthen our iman, we realize where is, what is the need in life, what is the object of life. And we direct our main energy towards our object, and according to the need, we direct our energies towards our needs. So inshallah, we should also make this intention from now and make ourselves free for the time that we attend the ijtima with this intention, that we can rectify our iman, bring taqwa in our lives. This will become a means of barakat in our lives, in our health, in our wealth, in our families and everything. May Allah tabarak wa ta'ala give us a tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana.
Syntax CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.